My name is Andy, and this is the most magical podcast on earth. When I'm not on holiday at Walt Disney World, I'm planning a holiday to Disney. And when I'm not planning a holiday to Disney, I'm talking about Disney with other UK fans like me who make the trip to Orlando and the House of the Mouse. So whether you're a parks professional or a Florida first-timer, this is the podcast for you. Each episode, I'll be chatting to other Disney superfans to share memories of their magical times, answering your Walt Disney World questions, getting you all the latest news from the parks, and finding out what's happening right now in Orlando. So get your ears on as we take you to the most magical place on earth. This is the most magical podcast on earth as part of the Secret Recordings Network with brand new episodes every other week. On this episode, we welcome back a guest who was hit with travel troubles during the pandemic. But before we get to the guest, before we start the podcast, I just need to do me a little favour. If you're listening right now on Apple Podcasts, if you could possibly subscribe if you're not doing already, but also rate and review. It takes just a few seconds. If you could hit 5 stars, that's brilliant. If you've got time to add a review as well to say how much you love the podcast and how much you love Walt Disney World, if you could do that, doesn't cost you anything, takes a few seconds, just helps us here at the podcast, just helps people find us a little bit more. So subscribe on Apple Podcasts. You can also rate and review. If you're listening on Spotify, you can do similar as well. You can follow us on Spotify and you can also add a rate on there as well. If you give us 5 stars. That would be brilliant. You can also follow us on all the socials. Pod Magical is where we are across X and Facebook and Instagram and TikTok. If you want to be a podcast guest, just send me a message on there. If you've got any kind of planning questions, whether you're at the stages of thinking about going and where to stay, or would you maybe you're in the airport now and going, oh, I wonder where I should go eat and what I should have here. Send me a question. I'll do my best to answer it. Had a question from Carly, who wants to know about Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party. Andy, any idea when this year's tickets go on sale? Also, when they do go on sale, will I need to use a VPN to book or just regular booking? First question is, when will they go on sale? Keep an eye towards the end of April, because usually Disney will do something called halfway to Halloween, where they announce loads of Halloween stuff for Disney Plus and the parks. So usually that is when they'll announce the dates, prices for the Halloween parties, and also that's they'll tell you when they go on sale as well. So towards the end of April usually is halfway to Halloween. Do you need a VPN? I was trying to think back to when I bought Halloween tickets. I don't think I've used a VPN. I don't think you need a VPN to buy a Halloween ticket. If you do need one, there's a few free ones around there, but they get a little bit scarce. So if you've got a problem getting tickets and you can't get them and you haven't got a VPN, call them. You can book them over the phone, just a normal UK number. Hope that helps. Any questions, or if you want to be a guest at Pod Magical is where we are. So let's get back to this week's guest, who is a former guest. So can you believe it's been, 4 years since we were plunged into lockdown? 4 years since I was doing this podcast, talking to people about going to Walt Disney World who couldn't go to Walt Disney World. All the Disney trips were planned. In fact, we couldn't even leave the country. Well, let's rewind and speak to somebody that has been on the podcast about 4 years ago who had trips cancelled at the time we spoke to her last. So has she been back to Walt Disney World and Disney parks? Maybe Disneyland in California or into Paris? Hello, Em. Welcome back to the podcast.
Hi, lovely to be here. And yes, I have been back both to Disneyland and to Disney World.
Yeah!
So it's been a bit busy.
You've had 4 years to do it. A couple of years we couldn't do anything. But yeah, it's good to have you back, because we were talking about cancelled trips with you last time. So it's nice just to catch up and see how your life has been and your Disney life has been. But let's rewind for the start and tell us about the very first time you went to Walt Disney World. Way back.
Oh my gosh, that is way back. So my first visit was when I was about 12. I managed to break my arm about 3 weeks before the trip. So I went with a broken arm. So I got to do no swimming in the pools, no big coasters. It was a very different kind of trip, but also just magical to actually get there for the first time when you've kind of been imagining what it's like and suddenly you're there in the sights and smells and being with your family. And yeah, it was just magical, and fell in love with it then.
What were the big attractions then when you went first time? What was the Tron or Guardians of the time on your first trip? Can you remember what people were queuing for? Well, probably not queuing as long as they are now.
So Big Thunder Mountain was still there. So I remember going on that back in the day. I went with my younger siblings, so we did quite a lot of the dark rides, so all kind of Fantasyland. I remember like Mickey's Toontown, so going into the houses and things, that was really lovely, and like the celebration-y stuff. So yeah, there were some rides, but I don't remember a huge amount. I think because I've been back so many times since, it's all kind of blurred into one, and now I can't quite remember what was there then, because I've just been so many times since, which has just been amazing.
So last time we talked during the pandemic and lockdown, we were talking about trips that were cancelled, but you have been back since. So when was your last trip to Walt Disney World? We just talked about the first one. When was the last time you went to the Magic?
So last August, we did a bit of a mammoth trip because we were due to go to Disney World for a family celebration. And I kind of thought, well, if we're going all the way to America anyway, then we may as well tag on a week at California as well. So we managed to do Disneyland, and then went on to Disney World from there. So we did both of them in one trip.
Oh, wow. So you went straight over to California first. What was the jet lag like? Because that's what, 8 hours time difference?
Yeah, that was hard. So we did a couple of days kind of in LA first of all. So we did some LA stuff. We did Walk of Fame, Warner Brothers Studio, did Universal, and then after about 3 days we went to Disneyland. And we were still waking up quite early, so that was quite good for kind of early entry because we were up in kind of the right time to go in. But late nights were hard because I think we were all shattered by
Yeah.
that point.
How did they compare? You've been to Disneyland before?
No, I've been to Disneyland Paris and I've been to Tokyo Disney, but I've never been to Disneyland. So it's the one I'd really wanted to go to. So it was really interesting to see the differences between the two. Like, you still got that Main Street feel, but just walking down the street and seeing the tiny little castle, my kids were like, "Is that it? Is that the castle?"
That's the
And I
OG.
was like, "Yes." It's small but beautiful and perfectly formed. So that was just magical. And I think actually California Adventure is probably our favourite.
Yeah.
Like, the kids love that. I love that. It's just such a different feel to a park.
There's something special about both of those parks. I think because Disneyland is the original and you knew that, Walt had been in that room. Did you say goodbye and thank you to Walt, by the way, as you left?
I did.
Okay,
And
yeah.
I stood outside the apartment while Dapper Dans were singing. And that was just magical, kind of looking up at the light and
Yeah.
just having Dapper Dans there was just very emotional. It was really special, actually.
Yeah, it is a really special park. It's got a big heart, and it's strange how I found when I went there how small the queues were. I don't mean in terms of length, but I mean you've got to squeeze through. It's like they used to have these queues, and then suddenly they've had to kind of like make the queues twice as long by just putting more ropes in between. Did you find that?
Yeah, and it was really interesting because you're so used to the queues at Walt Disney World, where kind of most of the queue is inside because obviously it's so hot. Whereas Disneyland, you'd kind of get fooled because you'd walk along and you'd see these massive queues and think, well, I'm not going to queue in that because it's huge. But actually, the queue is mainly outside.
Yeah.
So once you've done the outside bit, you're pretty much on the ride. So it was kind of like it was fooling you quite often into thinking it was longer than it was. So that was really interesting because it's so different. It's kind of the opposite at Walt Disney World. But the one queue that was absolutely horrific was Space Mountain at Disneyland, because that just had the biggest amount of switchbacks inside. And I think we were in there for over an hour just dying. It was
Are
terrible.
we ever going to get to the end of this? And how did that Space Mountain compare to Disney World?
It's interesting because you sit side by side. So rather than being kind of in the rocket, one behind the other, you're next to each other. So I think it was good, but I think by the time we got on it, we were a bit done because the queue had taken so
Yeah,
long.
I wish we hadn't bothered. I find that that one over at Disneyland in California is in between Disney World and Disneyland Paris. So Disneyland Paris is obviously a bit more of a roller coastery one, and then Disney World is a bit more of a rockety, like you're sitting behind. But I think that one is kind of an in-betweeny one, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think Disneyland Paris is still definitely the favourite. The kind of Hyperspace Mountain
Yeah.
is just so much fun.
If you like your coasters. And then over at, what's it called? California Adventure? What's it called these days? California Adventure?
Yeah, Disney California Adventure, yeah.
I couldn't even think what it was called then. What did you think of that? Because again, that is very different because that's probably one of the
Oh.
newer parks.
Yeah, just loved it. Loved everything about it. Loved Cars Land. My kids were massive Cars fans when they were little, so that was really kind of nostalgic for them. Avengers Campus was amazing. I found the one shooting ride that I'm actually good at, which is Web Slingers, so I could just do that all day. That would be great. And then Guardians Mission Breakout was fantastic. That was, I think, our favourite ride while we were there. But it's just
Ah,
such a different vibe. It's
yeah.
really chilled, isn't it? It's so interesting.
So that Guardians ride is what was the Tower of Terror. And there was so
Yeah.
much controversy when they said, we're going to change the Tower of Terror and it's going to become Guardians. What do you think of it having been on both of them now?
I love the Mission Breakout one.
Yeah.
It's just so much fun. Like, you're just laughing the whole time, like hands up in the air, laughing, giggling. The music just makes it. we just loved it. It's just a very different kind of vibe to going on Tower of Terror, which I still love, but I think Guardians was just more fun.
Yeah, it's definitely, it feels more bouncy as well. And you've got the music going, like, yeah, the Jackson 5 sometimes, or, yeah.
Yeah, it was
that.
Really good.
And then Cars Land, probably one of the most immersive lands at any Disney park.
Yeah, amazing. It was just fantastic. And you've got Incredicoaster, you know, getting the original Num Num cookie as well.
Yeah.
And just the different food options was great. And just, yeah, just really different. I just loved it. And then we got soaked watching World of Colour as well.
Was that your favourite night time? Because there was the fireworks at Disneyland and then World of Colour is over at California Adventure, which is more of a, well, it is. It's like a water feature, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And we got to see Wondrous Journeys at Disneyland, and that was just amazing. I loved it. That's one of the best fireworks shows I think I've seen, with kind of the projections and everything as well. Again, just quite emotional. I think because you're there in the original park while this is kind of happening, it just gives you all the feels.
Did you stay at a Disney resort? Because in Anaheim, the park is literally in the middle of... It's like if you go to International Drive... It's like they put park in the middle of it. That's probably the best way to describe where it is in Anaheim, would you say?
Yeah, pretty much. You're kind of walking along the street and you look to one side and like, oh, there's Disneyland.
There's the entrance. So did you stay at Disney Park or did you stay at one of the nearer hotels?
No. So when we had the original plan to go on the trip, we had booked Paradise Place, I think it is, which has now changed to obviously Pixar Place. Mm. But when we'd had to rebook the trip, everything was just crazy money. So we didn't stay on property, but we were literally like an 8-minute walk to security. So it kind of felt like being on property anyway.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, there's a lot of hotels that are nearby for a lot cheaper. So before we start talking about Disney World, Disneyland, favourite attraction and favourite restaurant, what would they be if anybody's going? What would you say is your best?
I would say probably Guardians Mission Breakout was the most fun kind of we had on a ride. I think that was our favourite ride. And then we went to Lamplight Lounge on Pixar Pier, and that was just lovely. Like, you're there and it's all kind of Pixar details. There's kind of original works by Pixar animators, kind of storylines, maquettes, lots of different things. And you've just got the view of kind of the gardens and then the giant Mickey wheel and everything. So, yeah, I think that was probably our favourite place that we dined while we were there as well.
Any advice for anybody who's thinking of going to Disneyland or pairing up with a Disney World trip? What would be your advice?
I'd probably say don't do both in one trip, because it's exhausting.
It's the opposite sides of America.
The jet lag twice kind of kills you. I'd really recommend people go to Disneyland. I think especially kind of with younger children, it's so convenient because the parks are literally opposite each other. So you can just walk between them with your hopper ticket, and it's just manageable. You know, it's all kind of there. You can get cheaper hotels, so you can walk to the parks. You haven't got those kind of transport issues or waiting for anything. So I just think it's a really great place for people to go and visit. And, you know, as with all the parks, just do your research. Mm. Know what you're getting into, know what you want to do, and then prioritise those things that you're really keen to do.
How many days would you recommend to do the Disney parks?
So we got a 4-day ticket, but we flew on kind of the night of the fourth day. So we didn't have 4 full days.
Right.
And we did it a bit like we do Disney World, really. We went up, got up early for rope drop, did the mornings, had a bit of a break, and then went back for the evenings. But I'm actually going again this August.
Oh, right.
And this time I bought a 5-day ticket, yeah.
To do the stuff that you didn't get time to do last time.
Yeah, I think that's one of my learnings, actually, from Disneyland, was Genie Plus kind of works in a slightly different way. Because I'd kind of got Genie Plus on, I think it was the last day, with the aim that we were going to try and do the Fantasylands that we hadn't done. But most of the Fantasyland rides do not have Genie Plus. So that was not the best plan, really.
Ah.
So definitely worth looking at the rides and seeing kind of what you want to do and when. And I'd definitely do rope drop for Fantasyland next time instead, just to kind of knock those rides out, really.
And they always say that Disneyland is a locals park. So weekends, mega, mega, mega busy, and holidays.
Yeah, and evenings, you know, the crowds kind of pick up sometimes in the evenings as well as people come after work. Because, I mean, why wouldn't you? If you lived locally, I'd be there all the time.
Of course you would if it's around the corner. I'd just pop to Disneyland tonight, I think, rather than staying at home watching Curry. Guest in just a moment. A quick news update. There's a lot of cruise news, so let's fill you in on all the cruise news. We know the name of the new Disney cruise liner that is going to be coming out next year, setting sail in 2025. is the Disney Destiny, which will be a heroes and villains theme for the new Disney Destiny. Meanwhile, summer for next year, the itineraries are out and the Disney Fantasy will be heading over to the UK and Europe for sailings next year. You can already book those from now. All the bookings have already opened. This year, of course, we've got the Disney Dream sailing from Southampton and around Europe. And there is currently a competition, if you're a teacher, for you and your class to win a four-night trip on that ship. More on the Disney Cruise Line and Disney Parks UK on that. With news from the parks, now let's head back over to the parks. Big announcement for Epcot. Communicore Hall and Plaza at Epcot will officially open on June the 10th. I think that does that then mean it's the end of Walcott? That is where you will get to meet Mickey and friends. Joy, meanwhile, she is going over to Hollywood Studios. You want to meet Joy from Inside Out. Of course, Inside Out 2 opens this summer. Joy will be meeting at Hollywood Studios from June the 10th. Meanwhile, Timon and Rafiki from Lion King are going to be meeting and greeting. It's the 30th anniversary of Lion King this year. You can meet them over at Disney's Animal Kingdom Park over at Rafiki's Planet Watch. There's also going to be a new popcorn bucket as well, if you want a Lion King popcorn bucket. And if you're a fan of Encanto, for a limited time, everybody's going to be talking about Bruno from June the 10th to September the 6th, there's a new summer sing-along featuring songs and the story of Encanto. Celebration Encanto. You will be able to see that at the new place where I've just mentioned, Communicore Plaza Stage over at Epcot. Also, it's Donald Duck's 90th birthday this year. So there's some brand new Donald Duck merchandise that's going to be available for purchase very soon as well. Any other news between now and the next podcast, hit that subscribe button and follow us on all the socials. We'll keep you updated at Pod Magical. With us on the podcast. Em was with us on the podcast about 4 years ago during lockdown, talking about all the trips she got cancelled, but she's been back. She's been to Disneyland and back to Disney World. It was the first time in how long?
Oh, because I went in between as well. So I went in Christmas of 2021. So that kind of made up for one of our cancelled trips.
Right, okay.
So we did a little Christmas trip in 2021, yeah, and then managed to go then back last year. And before that, we weren't there. We were 2017. We were there before that.
So that was quite a gap. It must have been like when you went, especially after lockdown before Christmas, being there again for the first time, having not been for quite a few years.
Yeah, it was. It was kind of just kind of finding a way around again as well. And also just, I've forgotten how hot it was in August. I think having been there at Christmas time where it was just beautiful weather, suddenly you're like baking again. It feels like you're just walking into a sauna every single day in August.
So what was new when you went after post-pandemic?
So when we went this time, new things to us were Guardians Cosmic Rewind. So we hadn't done that before. So that was brilliant that we got to do that. I think we did it three times, but we never got September. We got the same song twice. I think we got Everybody Wants to Rule the World twice.
Boring.
And then I think we got Conga. So I know, it was like, oh, I just want the other song.
Yeah.
So that was annoying. And then we did Tron as well, obviously. So Tron wasn't open last time we went. So that was great. I think we managed to get on Tron three times as well. And the kids loved that as well, especially that first kind of the launch, I think, is the best bit of Tron.
It's quite short, isn't it? It's only like a minute long, maybe just over a minute, but I think it's worth it.
I know. Ideally, I'd like to do the whole thing twice.
Yeah,
you could do it twice.
Stay on and go around again. Like the choo-choo train at Alton Towers. Would you go to do two laps a bit? So do you have a new favourite attraction now? What was your favourite attraction? And now what is your favourite attraction?
I think before it would have been a tie between Flight of Passage and Tower of Terror.
Yeah.
Both of which I still absolutely love. But I think Guardians, I think Cosmic Rewind might have taken it this time round, just because it's just such a different feeling. I think it's such a different type of ride. Just loved it. It was just amazing.
And favourite restaurant?
So we went to Topolino's this time, which we hadn't been to before, which I wanted to go to when we went on the Christmas trip. We didn't manage it. So we did a little breakfast at Topolino's, and that was just lovely. Really good food. I loved that you could just walk out and have a look in kind of the balcony and see kind of all of the resort. And the character interaction was just brilliant as well. So definitely recommend Topolino's.
Did you stay on site this time or did you stay off site at Disney World?
No, we were on site. So most times when we go to Disney, we tend to stay on site when we're at World.
Yeah.
So when we went on our Christmas trip, we stayed at Art of Animation and we were really lucky because we randomly got upgraded from a Little Mermaid room to a suite. So that was amazing.
Nice.
And then this time around, we were at Pop Century, again, just for the Skyliner, because I think we just love that ease of access with just having the Skyliner there. And it was great. I love Pop Century as well. It's brilliant.
And of course, you wouldn't have had the Skyliner, would you, on your pre-pandemic trips? So that's
No,
new
so
as
that
well.
was all
It
news.
makes a
Brilliant.
big difference, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Really recommend it.
Although going back post-pandemic, no Magical Express. So how did you get to and from the airport this time?
Yeah, so this time we went to the unnamed place first. So we got a
Get off!
I know,
It's all
it's
right.
terrible.
It's all right.
So we went there first, so we got a taxi from the airport, and then we just got an Uber back to the airport at the end. And it's funny because when we went on our Christmas trip for 2021, that was the penultimate day of Magic Express. So the last kind of when we went back to the airport, it was like the penultimate day that it was running. So that was a bit
Oh, yeah,
weird.
of course, because it didn't
Yeah.
finish straight away, did it? Yeah,
No.
they phased it out. And how long did you spend at Universal then? Where did you stay there?
So we did, I think it was 2 nights at Cabana Bay and then a night at Royal Pacific. So that was just great. You know, the kids love all the big rides, so I think that's often why we go there as well. And then we also did Universal at Hollywood as well. So we stayed at the hotel near there as
Ah,
well.
okay.
So it was great just kind of compare those two as well.
And Royal Pacific, if you stay there in Orlando, is that one of the hotels where you get the fast pass access for
Yeah,
Universal?
you get the express pass. So if you
Express
stay
pass.
for 1 night, you get the express pass for 2 days. So it's basically your kind of front of line access, which is just brilliant. And the only ride that you can't use it on now is Hagrid's, because you can use it on Velocicoaster, which is brilliant.
Have you got a favourite time of year to go, having now been at Christmas?
I think it might be Christmas.
Yeah.
I think it's just so magical. And, you know, just waking up, being there on Christmas Day, seeing the Christmas parade on Christmas Day, woke up
Oh,
at Christmas at the parks. But my kids didn't, they didn't love it, which killed me.
why? Is it because it was too busy? They'd rather be at home? Why did they not love it being at Disney World on Christmas Day?
They loved being at Disney for Christmas, but they want to be at home for Christmas Day. So they didn't like being somewhere different for Christmas Day and not kind of having the tree and
Yeah.
everything else. But I loved it. So it was 2021. So it was still kind of everything getting back to how it was before. So it wasn't crazy. I mean, looking at kind of footage from the Christmas just gone and the Christmas before, they were much, much busier. Whereas when we went, it wasn't really mad. It just didn't seem kind of as
Yeah.
crazy as I was expecting it to be.
And how did you spend your Christmas day then? Talk me through Christmas Day.
So we got up, opened presents, went to Magic Kingdom. We did a few rides, had lots of photos taken with the tree. Went to Liberty Tree Tavern for lunch because that's kind of the most
Yeah.
Christmas lunchy kind of place that you can find. Watched the parade, and then we went over to Grand Floridian to see the gingerbread house and bought some gingerbread, and then just kind of chilled for a bit. I think we went to the pool for a little bit, which the kids loved. It's like you're in a pool on
On
Christmas
Christmas
Day.
Day.
It's amazing. And then went back and watched fireworks in the evening. So yeah, it was just amazing. Loved it.
Because, of course, being there at Christmas, you would have got the Christmas parade and the Christmas fireworks that are normally at the after-hours party, but they're included, aren't they, the week before Christmas up to New Year?
Yeah, which I'd forgotten about. So I remembered that the fireworks were, but I hadn't realised about the show. So the
Yeah.
first day that we walked into Magic Kingdom when we got there on the Christmas trip, the Christmas show was on. And I just started crying because, like, I never thought I'd get to see this kind of in real life.
Yeah.
And here it is, it's on. The whole Clarabelle singing thing. Oh, it was
Mariah
amazing.
Carey. I do love Disney World at Christmas, but I've been for New Year as well. And then I kind of, as soon as Christmas is finished and they start doing the Christmas things, and they play a lot of Christmas music, and the Christmas tree stays up usually till mid-January until they've done the marathon weekend. So something's like, it's kind of, it loses its magic pretty much as soon as Christmas is finished. So I think anything up the run up to Christmas between Thanksgiving and Christmas Eve, I think is really quite special. Did you go over to Epcot as well and do the candlelight processional and things like that?
Yeah, so we caught some of the candlelight professional, and obviously you've got Festival of the Holidays, so
Yeah.
we tried lots of food from around there. That was great. And we were there, we flew back on New Year's Eve. So on the day before New Year's Eve, we went to kind of the day before fireworks at Magic Kingdom. So that was great as well. So you kind of got that New Year's Eve feel without it being New Year's Eve, the whole DJ and everything else. So that was
Yeah.
great. And Animal Kingdom at Christmas as well, with the magical menagerie with the little puppets and things. That was really lovely as well.
It's definitely a great time to go. I'm going to give
Yeah.
you your perfect 24 hours at Walt Disney World. Now you've been back since the pandemic. How would you spend your not only day at Disney World, but your perfect Disney World day? Where would you wake up? Where would you go? What would you do?
So I've gone for money, no object with this one. I'm going to have like the bougiest day that you could possibly have.
Go bougie or go on.
At Disney. I thought, you know, someone's treating me, may as well go for it. So I'd wake up at the Polynesian bungalows because, you know, why not?
Why not?
If money's no object. Get the monorail over to Epcot. I'd go on Guardians, hopefully about three times with different songs each time, just, you know, wake me up, make sure I'm kind of ready for the day. Then I'd get some caramel popcorn and then head on the Skyliner over to the Riviera, have a nice character breakfast at Topolino's. That'd be lovely. Then I'd head to Hollywood Studios and, you know, because it's a bougie day, I'm going to have a VIP tour guide for this bit.
Yeah.
because I think not only do you get that kind of access to the rides, but also you learn so much. And I did Keys to the Kingdom on this tour as well, on this trip. And just learning so much about the history of the parks. I love that kind of side of it as well.
Yeah.
So I'd have my VIP tour guide. We'd go on Rise of Resistance, Mickey Minnie's Runaway Railway, Tower of Terror. Make sure I get a Num Num cookie because I love those as well. Maybe have a little bit of a grilled cheese at Woody's lunchbox. Then we would head backstage because that's what you can do with your VIP tour guide.
Yeah.
Over to Animal Kingdom and get there just as we're getting into kind of golden hour. And then do the Kilimanjaro Safari and then go on Flight of Passage and just time it perfectly so that when we come out, it's getting dark. So you can see kind of all the magic of Pandora because I just think it's so beautiful at night. And that was the only issue, I think, this trip was it was never dark at night when we went there
August.
It was summer, so we just didn't get to see that. Then I'd go on Everest because, again, roller coasters are just faster in the dark, so that's always good fun. Go and meet Mickey and Minnie in their safari outfits because I think when you can meet both of them together, that's always really good as well. Then head to Nomad Lounge, which I haven't been to, but I keep seeing people going there. I really want to go.
Oh, it's great.
So I'd try the Tiffin. Yeah, no, I keep seeing it. So I thought maybe a Lily Gorilli, as I think I've seen recommended by Adam Hatton and Gary C quite a few times. Bit of a Tiffin's bread service as well. And then finish off by heading over to Magic Kingdom because, of course, you've got to do the four parks in one day.
Exhausted.
And then, I know, it's what you do. And then, again, some coasters in the dark. So a bit of Big Thunder Mountain and Tron in the dark because Tron, again, at night is just brilliant. I love kind of the different vibe of it at night. And then maybe finish the little relaxing ride and the People Mover, just kind of chill at the end. And then, again, because it's a really bougie day and because, you know, I can have a little dessert party and watch Happily Ever After. Have a lovely end of the day, then go back to my bungalow at the Poly and have a little relax in my private plunge pool. And I think that would be a perfect day.
Exhausting day by the sound of it, Em. I'm exhausted by the thought of it. Am I right in saying that you are now a travel agent or you help people with their Disney World plans?
Yeah, so alongside my kind of full-time job, I spend a lot of my time just talking Disney because, you know, even if people don't ask my advice, I like to
give
it.
Yeah, too
right. And I thought, well, you know, if I could help people, then that would be great. So, yeah, I specialise mainly in kind of Disney holidays, so Disneyland Paris, Disneyland California, Walt Disney World, and just helping people to book their holidays. And I think especially those first trips, because there is just so much to think about. And I think when you're not aware of it, you don't know how much there is.
Yeah.
But you can't really just rock up at Disney World and have a great time because it's busy and it needs that bit of planning. So yeah, just try and help people to make those trips as magical as possible.
What do you find that is usually the biggest mistake that people make?
I think it's not actually knowing what's at the parks. So I remember even on the last trip, there was a couple behind us in the ride. And I think we were at Magic Kingdom at the time and saying, oh, we're going to go over to Hollywood Studios next and ride all the Harry Potter rides.
What?
And I was like, no, you're not. You're not going to manage to do that.
No.
That's at a different place. And that's the thing. People just assume kind of that Disney World is kind of Universal and SeaWorld and Disney and everything in one.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, supporting people with knowing, you know, this is how big it is. This is what's here. Let's have a look what you're interested in. Let's find out what parks are best for you. Let's have a think about dining, what dining options work for you. And then, you know, I support clients. I book their dining for them and just basically make itineraries to meet all the needs of everyone and their family because obviously everyone wants something different out of a holiday.
Yeah, of course.
So it's just trying to hit everything that people want, really.
You're like me. You just want people to go and have a good time. You want people to have the time that you have when you go and then come back and go, yeah, it was as good as people say. Not, oh, I was too busy and I didn't see Harry Potter and SeaWorld or whatever.
Exactly. And I think that's what always makes me so sad, if people come back and they didn't have a nice time.
Yeah.
You just think, but you should, you know, you're paying so much money to go to this really magical place. And all you need is a little bit of extra planning and you could have that most magical time.
Too right, too right. Well, it's been brilliant to get you back on the podcast because we kind of like were left suspended 4 years ago thinking, well, will we ever go again? I'm glad you've been a number of times and you had a great time and it's really nice to catch up.
Yeah, thank you so much, Andy.
And I will say this to you one more time. Have a magical day.
You too. Take care.
Like Emma, you'd like to be on the podcast, give me a shout. At PodMagical is where we are. Like us, follow us, subscribe, do all that stuff. Don't forget, we've got brand new podcasts every other week. Hit that subscribe button right now, then you won't miss the next one. Maybe you can take us to Walt Disney World if you are going. We've still got the spring break crowds because, of course, it's Easter weekend next weekend. So there's a lot of Easter things happening around the parks. Over at the Grand Floridian, you've got the Easter Cottage with some Easter treats. Check out some of the other resorts as well. The Easter egg displays are on. You can also meet the Easter Bunny. He's usually around at Magic Kingdom. We've got the Flower and Garden Festival continuing at Epcot with the Garden Rocks concert series. This weekend, the orchestra featuring members of ELO, the Pointer Sisters, next weekend for Easter weekend at Epcot for the Flower and Garden Festival. You still got Mardi Gras continuing over at Universal, although their concert series is finished. And we've got the Seven Seas Food Festival over at SeaWorld as well, with some live concerts happening there at the weekends. So if you are going, tag us in your pictures. Let us follow along. Let's have some fun. Pound to dollar is still doing quite good as well, about 1.27. Because it's spring break, expect the higher end of the prices if you're using Genie Plus, and expect the temperatures to be getting muggy now. And those afternoon storms are creeping in. We always like to end the podcast with a top tip. This episode is one for you if you are taking your car, if you're driving, if you're hiring a car over there. I don't mean taking your car. That'd be a tip, wouldn't it? How do you get a car on a plane? This is a good one. A lot of people forget about when it comes to transportation, because sometimes people, you know, they might just start the day at Animal Kingdom and then just leave the car there for the day and maybe go over to Disney Springs for lunch and then park hop over to Magic Kingdom to watch the fireworks. Please remember, if you are getting back to a park that is closed, there won't be any transportation. So if Animal Kingdom closes at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, and you're staying for the fireworks at Magic Kingdom and you're only leaving the park at like 9:30, there won't be a bus to get you back to Animal Kingdom for your car. Any top tips that you'd like to share, let me know. I'd like to share. I'd like to hear what your top tips are. And of course, if you want to come on the podcast as well, always looking for guests. At PodMagical, send me a message. We'll get you on. We'll be back with a brand new episode 2 weeks today. Have a good Easter. Don't eat too much chocolate. And please, stand clear of the doors.